The scripture reading this morning before Mike's lesson will be taken from John chapter 7, verses 16 through 19. John 7, 16 through 19, and then John chapter 8, verses 29 and 30. Here the Bible reads, Jesus answered them and said, My doctrine is not mine, but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine, whether it is from God or whether I speak of my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory, but he who seeks the glory of the one who sent him is true, and no unrighteousness is in him. Did not Moses give you the law? Yet none of you keeps the law. Why do you seek to kill me? And then John chapter 8, verse 29 and verse 30. And he who sent me is with me. The Father has not left me alone, for I always do those things that please him. As he spoke these words, many believed in him.
What a blessing it has been this month as we have been talking about adorning the doctrine of Christ, adorning the truth. And I found it very interesting as relates to the passages that were read in our hearing. Because when we consider adorning the truth, we want to be looking at Jesus and how Jesus adorned the truth. A few weeks ago, as we were defining some terms, we was looking at the phrase. And Brother Stephen, I'm going to need you to help me out this morning, okay? We was defining the phrase, adorning the doctrine of God. And looking at that phrase is very powerful, very informative. And it ought to cause us to have great trust, not only in God, in his word, but also in righteousness itself. Because when we think about the phrase, the doctrine of God, it's a beautiful phrase, only used one time in the scriptures. And when we consider some of the definitions, it means to put in order, to arrange, to make ready or prepare, to embellish, to decorate with honor, to gain honor. And one thing that we take notice of, point number two, Jesus, he made the Father look good. He adorned the doctrine of God. Let me tell you a few things that Jesus did by way of introduction. Jesus was always about his Father's business. In Luke 2 and verse number 49, he told his parents that. When Jesus spoke, he never spoke by his own authority. You never would catch Jesus saying anything. Thank you. You would never catch Jesus saying anything that his Father didn't say. In John 12 and verse number 49, Jesus said, I didn't speak my own authority, but the Father, which gave me what to say and what to speak. That's a great lesson for us, that if we're going to adorn the doctrine, that we always speak where God speaks. Amen. Never speak outside of where God has spoken. Jesus always went about doing good, Acts 10, 34. We consider that very thing, and no wonder Luke brings that to our attention in Acts 10 and verse 34, that Jesus always made God look good. He always made the doctrine of God look good, going about doing good, looking for opportunities to heal. He stood up for the weak. He fed the hungry. He caused the blind to see. He even corrected his own. Luke 9, verse 55. You know, sometimes we get so deep into the word that we forget about some of the basic teachings of Jesus Christ. Him standing up for the weak. Him feeding the poor. Causing the blind to see. Helping the lame to walk. Friends, those are some of the basic teachings that demonstrate the power of God to help us build faith, hope, and truth, even in our own lives. Jesus also knew why he was here. Mark 9 or Matthew 9, verse number 13. He said, I did not come to call the righteous, but sinners to repentance. Jesus adorned the doctrine of God knowing why he was here. Even in the midst of chaos, John 18, 4 through 9, remember it was Judas and those whom he was paid by in order to point him out. Are you Jesus? He says, I am he. Ask him that two or three times. He says, I am he. Let these go. One thing we understand about Jesus, that even in the midst of chaos and betrayal, he'll rise up to the occasion. Before Pilate, he claims his kingship in John 18 and verse number 39. Even on the cross, Jesus, in Luke 23 and verse number 43, tells that thief, "Today you will be with me in paradise." He made his father look good. Yes. Amen. Remember that beating he took? You think about that, and even in the midst of the pain that he was in, he was still able to make God look good. That's a great lesson for us. That it doesn't matter what our human body is going through, the mental distress that we may be in, we got to dig deep enough to still make God look good in our lives. Having power to forgive sin on earth. Why? Because God gave him that power. Mark chapter 2 and verse 10. Remember what he said in John 19 and verse number 26. "Woman, behold thy son." Jesus taking care of business even on the cross. Adorning his father. Not allowing anything to get in the way of why he was here. In Luke 23 and verse number 31, the women were weeping at the cross. He informs them, "Don't weep for me, weep for yourselves." And then he says something that's very interesting. It took me years to understand this passage in Luke 23, 31. "For if they do these things in the green tree, what will be done in the dry? If they do this while I'm here, oh, you can only imagine what they'll do while I'm gone." But we stop and we consider God, the Lord Jesus, adorning the doctrine of God. But this is my favorite. He said, "It is finished." Jesus adorned his father's teaching. Not only did he adorn his father, but he adorned his teaching. Listen to this. We should make Christ look good with the teachings he has left for us. Remember, our love for him is based upon his word that he left for us. Our love for him is seen in our obedience to his word, which he left for us. As Jesus adorned his Father's word through obedience and given him glory, we must imitate the same behavior and attitude as well. Jesus had a strong mind. He wasn't pushed around, neither should we. Which brings us to the text that I want us to look at. Look at John chapter 7. I said all that just to lead up to John chapter 7. And the reason why is because when I think about the great work of Jesus and how he adorned the doctrine of God, verses 16 through verse number 18, which was read in your hearing, Jesus answered and said to them, "My doctrine is not mine." Notice the glory he gives God. He didn't even take credit for the word that he brought to the earth. He said, "My doctrine is not mine," but notice, "but his who sent me. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine," the teaching. Friends, this is why when we're standing up and preaching and teaching, going out, seeking and saving the lost, we're going in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen. We're not going in our own name. We're not taking our own doctrine. We're not taking our own understanding. We're taking the doctrine of Almighty God. If anyone wills to do his will, he shall know concerning the doctrine. That also teaches us that we have to spend time in the doctrine. Jesus adorned the Father's teaching. He made it look good. Why did he make it look good? Because he knew the doctrine. Why did he make it look good? Because he lived out the doctrine. He lived out the teaching. And make no mistake about it, friends, it is a teaching. It is a doctrine. Whether it is from God or whether it is, whether I speak from God or whether I speak on my own authority. He who speaks from himself seeks his own glory. Jesus never sought his own glory. He always sought to glorify his Father. And really, that's what we're doing.
Amen.
Appreciate some of the words that were said yesterday by Brother Brian and the ceremony. This is about God. Marriage is about God. And anytime you get outside of that, it's not about God anymore. It's about self. And this is why when we consider the doctrine of God and making God look good, friends, we have to do our level best to make God look good. Go to John 8. And I love verse 29 and 30. And when you stop and you consider these great words, we'll put in verse number 28 for some of the context. Then Jesus said to them, when you lift up the Son of Man, then you will know that I am he, and that I do nothing of myself. Friends, did you see that, brothers and sisters in Christ? Jesus said, I do nothing of myself. If you want to make God look good, it's never about you. It's always about God. It's always about him. And that's why we turn around and we say, to God be the glory. I so appreciate you. You're the best. You're awesome. To God be the glory. He says, when I'm lifted up, when the Son of Man is lifted up, then you'll know. And then he says in verse number 29, and he who sent me is with me. The Father who has not left me alone. Watch this, friends. For I always do those things that please him. When I was considering this text this morning, I said, this is the perfect text. And the reason why, because Jesus said, I'm always trying to adorn the Father. I'm always trying to make him look good. I wish I had time to go into our application right now, but we're not ready for that yet. When we consider some brief points, how should we adorn the doctrine today? We adorn the doctrine through strength. I wish I could stress this point because we need more strength in the church. Amen. Strength comes from the Word of God. And when we stop and we consider this, Ephesians 6 verses 10 through 13, be strong in the Lord, now watch it now, and in the power of his might. Amen. If we could just put some emphasis around his might. When my might is his might, then I'm strong. When my words are his words, then I'm strong. And in that, you find that you are standing in his strength. And so when you consider what Paul told Timothy, the young protege, in 2 Timothy 2 in verse number 1, be strong in the grace. So to be strong in the Lord is the same thing as being strong in the grace. We live in a time that people are so weak-minded today, just weak-minded. Friends, we got to be strong. And what does it mean to be strong? First of all, how can I be strong? I have to spend time with God and his word. I have to. It's imperative. I cannot be strong without the word of God. This is not about lifting weights. It's not about calisthenics. It's about mental, spiritual, emotional, and psychological strength. Amen. To be able to withstand anything and everything that comes to the way of the child of God. And so a couple of examples that I want to share in Joshua chapter 1. When we think about Joshua, Joshua was told to be strong. He was told to be strong by Moses in Deuteronomy chapter 31, verses 7 and verse number 23, and by God. But look at Joshua chapter 1. We consider Joshua being told to be strong. But why should Joshua be strong? Because he was going to go against some very powerful enemies. But with God, he was going to be all right. He was going to make it. And young parents, read your children these stories, because it is in these stories that we learn how to be strong as well. If they could do it, we can do it. In Joshua chapter 1 in verse number 6, notice here what the Bible demonstrates to us. Be strong and of good courage, for to this people you shall divide as an inheritance. Verse number 7, only be strong and very courageous. And he goes on, do not turn from the right hand or to the left hand. In verse number 8, he tells him to meditate on the law. And he goes on in verse number 9 and 10. He tells him, be strong and of good courage. Be strong. How do we adorn the doctrine of God today like Jesus did? He was strong. I don't know how it is. I don't know how this happens. And he's probably tired of me saying it, but it's amazing. You think about the point that Brother Dennis brought out with the oppression. Friends, think about that point. What he went through. The noun and the verb form. Think about that point there. That he was able to go through that and go to the other side of it. How? Why? Because he was strong in his mind. Why? Because he was dying for us. He was taking that beating for us. I was telling the young people in class this morning, that you got to be willing to die for something, and that something is Christ. We have developed a generation that's not willing to die for anything, hardly. Not willing to sacrifice anything. Here, Joshua was going to be taking the children of Israel to conquer Canaan. And he needed to be strong and of good courage. And friends, we need to be strong and of good courage even ourselves today. You know, that's how we adorn the doctrine of God too. We don't tuck tail and run. As a matter of fact, we see the problem. And the next thing you know, through Ecclesiastes 8 and verse number 1, it's a good passage there. But in that particular idea, we come up with a good game plan, a spiritual game plan, and we attack it. We don't run from it. The people of God don't do that. We adorn the doctrine of God. But our faith is one thing, and our mental strength is something totally different. Why? Because one can have the faith in front of them, but if the mental strength is not there to carry it out, it's just faith without works, which is dead. I can know to do what is right and don't do it. That's a sin. And so adorning the doctrine of God is knowing to do what is right and actually doing it. Actually doing it. How do I adorn the doctrine of God? By not being dismayed. Look at verse number 9 of Joshua chapter 1. This is a very important point. In Joshua 1 and verse number 9, notice what the Bible here says. He says, "Have I not commanded you, be strong and of good courage? Do not be afraid," watch this, "nor be dismayed." In the Hebrew, it literally means not to be broken down mentally. Not to be broken down mentally. Why are people broken down today? Brother Royce, why are people so quickly broken down mentally today? I'm having a mental breakdown. You think about what Joshua was about to encounter. He had no time to be broken down mentally. The situation when Ai looked like they was going to defeat the children of Israel because of the sin of Achan. We have Joshua who rents his clothes. He falls down before God. He's totally upset. God tells him, get up, there's sin in the camp. You need to go deal with that. And you know what he did? He strengthened himself and he went and he dealt with it. A mentally broken down person would have said, well, we'll just deal with it. Maybe it'll go away by itself. No, he dealt with it. Friends, we cannot be mentally broken down. We have to be strong in the Lord and in the power of his might. We have to be strong and of good courage. To adorn the doctrine is to be strong in mind. Don't let the situations that's happening around us even today break you down. If anything, let it build you up. Let it build you up. Let it give you encouragement. David's instruction for Solomon. Be strong, 1 Kings 2 in verse number 2 and 3. And he tells him, you're about to build the temple of God. I need you to go do it. I want you to look at that. In 1 Chronicles chapter 28, verse 9 and 10, read this with me. As I was pondering this, and I thought about this, I said, this will be a great verse right here for the brethren. Here is Solomon, and David is telling him something very, very powerful. As a matter of fact, in my Bible, I don't know when I put it in there, I said, wow. Powerful words for the emotion, the mind, and the will. He says, David, as for you, my son Solomon, I know God. I know the God of your father and serve him. Or know the God of your father and serve him with a loyal heart and with a willing mind. For the Lord searches all hearts and understands all the intents of the thoughts. If you seek him, he will be found by you. But if you forsake him, he will cast you off forever. Consider now, for the Lord has chosen you to build a house for the sanctuary. Be strong in what? Do it. And we need to be telling one another, you do God's will. You adorn the doctrine of God by just doing what God says. A lot of times we want to say, well, I'm trying. Sometimes we need to stop trying and just do it. We just need to do it. When it came to the restoration of Israel from a governmental, spiritual, and communal perspective, and I appreciate Brother Ryan bringing this point out, and I used it right here in Haggai 2 in verse number 4, they were strong. They did it. All three entities came together to establish the people of God. Why is that so important? Because we have to be strong. We need to adorn the doctrine of God just like they needed to adorn the doctrine of God. Number two, we must adorn the doctrine through suffering. Not only just through strength, but we have to make up our mind that it's okay to suffer a little bit. Just a little bit. In 2 Timothy 3 and verse number 12, the Bible says, yea, all they that live godly shall suffer persecution. Christianity is about putting your hand to the plow and not looking back. Too many people looking back, just weak in the mind, Brother Braswell. Got to be strong. We got to teach our children, be strong. Being strong doesn't mean being mean. Being strong means stand. Right. And the only thing I have to do is show up for the fight. I just got to show up where God wants me to show up. And so we stop and we consider this. Godliness involves suffering. We adorn the doctrine of God in suffering for righteousness. Turn your Bibles to the book of 1 Peter. In 1 Peter chapter 4 and verse number 15 and 16, notice the contrast that Peter brings out as it relates to suffering. And we have to ask ourselves, what side am I on? What side am I on? In 1 Peter chapter 4, starting in verse number 15, notice what the Bible here says. But let none of you suffer as a murderer, a thief, an evildoer, or as a busybody in other people's matters. Yet if anyone suffers as a Christian, let him not be ashamed, but let him glorify God in this manner. Notice the contrast. One is either going to suffer for righteousness or unrighteousness. To adorn the doctrine of God, I have to make up my mind that I'm going to suffer for righteousness' sake. When I consider suffering for righteousness' sake, I may end up in jail. I may end up in some type of vicarious position in life. What did Paul and Silas do when they suffered for the cause of Christ? In Acts 16, verse 25, they sung. Oh, can you imagine that? Can you imagine someone putting you under immense oppression, persecution, and you're looking at them and saying, is that all you have? Really, that's it? You're trying to bully me? Trying to make me look stupid, foolish? I'm a child of God. Even if you was to kill me, guess where I'm going? Try it. That type of language, it may still get you killed, but it'll be on their mind. You stop and you consider these words. In James chapter 5 and verse number 13, notice what the Bible there says. Friends, the only thing I'm telling you is what the Bible says. And we stop and we consider this. Is anyone among you suffering? Notice what he tells them to do. Brother Nicholas, pray. Hold on. We saw earlier that Paul and Silas, when they suffered being cast into prison, didn't do anything wrong. They sung. James says, pray. We can put those two together, that when we're suffering, going through trials, troubles, situations in life, we pray and we sing. The old people used to say, pray until something happens. Y'all remember that? It's interesting that when we consider those great words, suffering is part of life. Whether you're a child of God or not, suffering is part of life. My question is what side do I want to suffer on? I think about 1 Peter chapter 5 and verse number 9, and I know that I'm not in this alone, which means that I'm not adorning the doctrine of God alone. There's others. I don't have to be one who thinks they're the only one going through this, like Elijah. I'm the only one that has not bowed my knee to Baal. And God had to show him, I have 7,000 that have not bowed the knee to Baal. I'm not the only one. In 1 Peter chapter 5, and look at verse number 9, and notice what the Bible here says. And I love this passage because it gives great confidence for the people of God. Notice what he says. This is after he talks about the devil and what he does. He says, resist him steadfast in the faith, knowing that the same sufferings are experienced by your brotherhood. Where? In the world. You're not the only one going through something. Sometimes we act like we're the only ones going through something when we're standing up for the cause of Christ. No, you keep standing. You keep doing what God would have you to do. Look at 1 Peter 4, verses 1 and 2. Therefore, since Christ suffered, he suffered. We're going to suffer a little bit. We're going to go through some things. I guarantee you, we start standing up a little bit more against some of the things that's going on in our land, we'll probably be marked. That's fine. It's okay to be marked as long as you're marked doing what is right. If you're marked as a false teacher, that's something totally different. I don't want to be marked as a false teacher, but I do want to be marked as one doing the will of God. You stay away from that guy. Why? He says you need to be like this. I'm just saying what God says. Here is it. Therefore, since Christ suffered for us, where in the flesh, arm yourselves also with the same mindset. For he who has suffered in the flesh, notice, has ceased from sin, that he no longer should live the rest of his life or the rest of his time, same difference, in the flesh for the lust of men, but for the will of God. Do you know that when we're suffering in the flesh, that's because we're telling sin, we're telling the devil, we're telling ourselves, I don't want to live contrary to the will of God, so it hurts. That's what's happening. The body is responding and reacting to what the mind is going through as it relates to the temptation. But Brother Nicholas, as you taught me the other day, there's an escape. First Corinthians, he taught me something in 1 Corinthians 10 and verse number 13. There God gives a way of escape. What's that way? He's giving us a choice, discernment. Good from evil, Hebrews 5, verses 12 through 14, that escape to be able to think, what path shall I live on and what path shall I go? I need to go to the path of righteousness rather than unrighteousness. But the body is going to feel the effects of that because the body wants to do certain things, but the mind is saying no. Why? Because of the word of God. And so when the word of God is in your heart, you want to do something that's contrary to the will of God, everything begins to respond. Why? Because mind, body, and soul are all interlinked together. I wish I had time to develop that even in my own mind, but that's, wow. You want to know why you stress sometimes? Maybe you want to do something you got no business doing, but you know the word of God is saying this. Or maybe you don't want to be shamed by it. You know, to adorn the doctrine of God is to do what God says regardless of what the body responds or how the body responds. Probably would have less children born out of wedlock if people would control their emotions. Probably have less marriages breaking up if people would control their minds and their lust. Have more brethren getting along with each other if they control their mouth. They adorn the doctrine. Anyway, that's something totally different. I don't get off on a tangent. It's something I just thought about. Just think about that. He that suffers in the flesh has ceased from sin. Think about that, friends. God has given us a way of escape. We've got to take it. But in order to capitalize and take advantage of that escape route, I got to have the will of God, word of God in my heart. Psalm 119, verse number 11. Anyway, we can keep on going on that. And so we adorn God in suffering when God's word dwells in us richly. There it is right there. What are we thinking about? How do I adorn God if God's word is not richly in my heart, if not bubbling over in my soul? Brother Foy, I understand when you want to preach. I understand that. When God's words just want to come out. I was telling the children, I was talking to a good friend a couple months back, and he said something that I've been testing. I told the kids this in class. He said, why is it that we as humans, the majority of our conversation is about food? It's true. And so I tested the theory, and that's sure enough. That's what we talk about, food. Then I thought about what Jesus said. My food is to do the will of him who sent me. Every time you turn around, Jesus talking about the word of God, talking about the will of God, talking about the God of heaven, talking about how it is to live in heaven with God or away from God in hell. He talked about God. What is your food? You consider these words, friends, allowing God's word to dwell in your heart richly. We must endure. But the only way we're going to endure, we have to have God's word in our heart. Let me show you this passage. 1 Peter 5, and look at verse number 10. We spent a couple of episodes here in 1 Peter. So great richness in 1 Peter. But if you look at verse number 10, we looked at verse number 9 a few minutes ago, but look at verse number 10 and look at it closely. Look at it closely. Look at what Peter teaches us. Worthy of our consideration. But may the God of all grace, who called us to his eternal glory. God, where are you calling us to? Where I live. Not down here on this earth. Where I live. Notice, by Christ Jesus. We're called by the gospel. Called through Jesus Christ by the gospel. After you have suffered what? A little while. After you have suffered a while. Perfect, establish, strengthen, and settle you. Friends, it's part of life. We can actually make God look good when we suffer. I don't want to suffer. I don't want to do that. I don't want to go through that. That's our mentality sometimes. As a child of God, we just put on our spiritual seat belts and we go through it. Amen. We just go through it. We don't have to bellyache all the time because something is hurting. We don't have to bellyache all the time because brethren don't treat us a certain way. Just bear it. It'll be all right. Because brethren, the world treats us a certain way. And friends, they're probably going to start treating us a certain way. It's just the way it is. Some of our brethren in California, and I'm talking to them. It's tough right now in California. It really is. For us to live in Texas is a blessing right now. And I'm not trying to sound weak. Well, I'm thankful to live in Texas right now, and I'm thankful to live so far out of the way in Texas. So if y'all ain't trying to fire me, I ain't trying to go nowhere. So I'm going to be right here. So when they finally get here, okay, let's fight. Let's go ahead. But Starks, I ain't trying to go San Antonio. You can have that because it's a different world, and it's only 3 hours away. But think about this, friends. Our brethren on the other side of the world are going through the same thing, but some are going through it a little worse. But you bear it. And so in Revelation 2:10, you're going to suffer a little while, but you hang in there. Last but definitely not least, talk about adorning the doctrine through strength, adorning the doctrine through suffering, but adorning the doctrine through sacrifice. In John 3:16, I remember a few years back, I found this idea in the word agapeo, love, but God so loved the world. God welcomes the world. That's the idea there. God is a welcoming God. Through the sacrifice of Jesus, God welcomes people through his sacrifice. God welcomes people through what Jesus did. God welcomes people through the Christ. God demonstrated his love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died. That passage never gets old to me quoting. It never gets old. God welcomes his people. He welcomes the world. Those who hate him, he welcomes them. And so my question is, what did it cost Jesus for us to be welcome? For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son. And his son gave his life. God gave his son gave his life. But we got to do our part. We got to obey him. And so when we consider, just by way of an example, look at 2 Samuel. We think of 2 Samuel chapter 24. I know you see two up there, but it's 24. And that's on me, Stephen. But you consider the sacrifice that it takes for us and how much sacrifice is worth and what we're willing to do in order to be pleasing to God, that it has to cost us something. Hopefully, if you have a job, you have means, hopefully you sacrificed something and you gave today. If you didn't, you need to be considering, why am I not sacrificing? Why? Because it's a command. We should never withhold from God. And Brother Foy, great song before the giving. Because we are giving ourselves. And we ought to have something to give to thee. But look at this. David numbered the people. And David sinned when he numbered the people. Yet David's heart naturally adorned God when he was condemned. Look at verse 10. And David's heart condemned him after he had numbered the people. So David said to the Lord, I have sinned greatly in what I have done. But now I pray, O Lord, take away the iniquity of your servant, for I have done very foolishly. Now this is David, king. He realized that what he had done was foolish, and his own heart condemned him. And so when we consider this, we have to ask ourselves, should we acknowledge sin when we sin against God without someone bringing it to our attention? The answer is yes. We understand that on a different occasion when David sinned with Bathsheba, that Nathan had to confront David with that. The same man, same heart, if you will, but on one occasion, his own heart convicts him, and on another occasion, he had to be convicted. That's the way life is sometimes, but we need to make sure that we're working those things out too. This sacrificial heart desires God's mercy and forgiveness, verses 11 through 17. We're not going to read all of that. But look at verse number 18. This heart sought the will of God. Sought the will of God. Look at verse number 18. And Gad came that day to David and said to him, go erect an altar to the Lord on the threshing floor of Araunah, the Jebusite. So David, according to the word of Gad, went up as the Lord commanded. Now Araunah looked and saw the king and his servants coming toward him. So Araunah went out and bowed before the king with his face to the ground. And Araunah said, why has my lord the king come to his servant? David said, to buy the threshing floor from you, to build an altar to the Lord, that the plague may be withdrawn from the people. Now Araunah said to David, let my lord the king take and offer up whatever seems good to him. Look, here, an oxen for the burnt sacrifice, threshing implements, and the yokes of the oxen for wood. All these, O king Araunah, has given to the king. And Araunah said to the king, may the Lord your God accept you. Now watch this, friends. Then the king said to Araunah, no, but I will surely buy it from you for a price. Nor will I offer burnt offerings to the Lord my God with that which cost me nothing. So David bought the threshing floor and the oxen for 50 shekels of silver. And David built there an altar to the Lord and offered burnt offerings and peace offerings. So the Lord heeded the prayers for the land, and the plague was withdrawn from Israel. Friends, did you see that? Did you hear that? David said, I've sinned. I messed up. I acted foolishly. I'm condemned. I'm not going to let you give me something free, and it cost me nothing. To adorn the doctrine of God is going to cost me something. It's going to cost us something. When we consider the sacrifice, adorning the doctrine through sacrifice is going to cost us something. And the question is, what are you willing to give up? Jesus makes it real easy, metaphorically speaking. If any man come after me, let him deny himself. It's going to cost you. That's not that much, is it? That's a lot. That's a lot. But it's worth it because Jesus said on one occasion that my reward comes with me. Friends, if you're willing to give up everything, God is willing to give you everything. But if you're going to want to hold to any of it, God can't give you anything because you haven't given up everything. And so here's the question. Are you willing to adorn the doctrine of God by giving everything? But one thing I love about God, he's not stingy. It's amazing how blessed we are as a people, as Americans, as Christians. We're so blessed. We're so blessed. We have the gospel of Jesus Christ. We're still not going through persecution per se here. We're still allowed to come in worship in spirit and in truth. We're still allowed to make decisions. We're still allowed to love one another. We're still allowed. Friends, do you get that point? We're still allowed right now. God has blessed us. Still allowed to jump in aircrafts and go across the country in vehicles and drive across the country. We're still allowed to do those things right now. God is still blessing us. Therefore, if we sin against God, let's do what is right. Let's make it right. If you're floundering in your Christianity, let's make that right. If you're not going to service, let's make that right. Being lackadaisical in your commitment to God, let's make that right. Let's make God look good. Because really what makes God look good is our obedience. That's what makes God look good. It makes him look real good. Be faithful. Be trustworthy. Be honorable. Be like David. Be like Joshua. Be like Paul. Be like Christ. Let's offer a word of prayer and offer the invitation. The lesson will be yours. Our Father and our God in heaven, it's a blessing to be before you. It's a blessing to be amongst your people. It's a blessing to be in the church. We ask, dear Father, that you continue to bless us according to your will. Spiritual blessings, Father. We realize that that's what life is about. It's about honoring you, glorifying you, giving you all that we have. Father, we love you for who you are, and we pray that you continue to be merciful unto us. You're a great and merciful God, and we're thankful for that. We're thankful for the Church of Christ. We're thankful for the doctrine of Christ. We're thankful for free will. We're thankful for the country we live in. And we pray, dear Father, for our country. We pray for those in other nations, those who are suffering. And Father, help us to adorn the doctrine of Christ by keeping them in mind and going out seeking and saving the lost and making a distinction between righteousness and unrighteousness, holy and unholy. And help us to be that type of people. Father, we're thankful for the leadership here. Pray to Father that we will do what is right in guiding the people as close to heaven as humanly possible. Pray to Father for our leadership in the nation. We know that it's tough, Father, but you've seen this before. Therefore, we trust you. And Father, we pray that those who are struggling in their spirituality, that they'll realize that they need to adorn the doctrine of Christ by repenting and turning and being what you have called them to be. Bless us according to your will. In Jesus' name, amen. If you're not a child of God, we want you to be. We want you to think about obedience to the gospel, the death, the burial, the resurrection, the appearance of Christ, believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, being willing to repent of your sins, confess Christ to be Lord, be buried in water for the remission of your sins. Maybe a child of God, you need special prayer, you haven't been adorned in the doctrine. Let's do that as we stand and as we sing our Savior's invitation.